Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs, and my name again is Jeffrey Davis. And for those of you who are new to the show, we have been streaming more stories about entrepreneurship and the new economy more than ever before. As we get into the fall period, people are still figuring out how to adjust to this economy, get back to work. And we have been very fortunate since day one of Radio Entrepreneurs to have Mark Furman, chief litigator and a partner at the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers with us. Welcome back, Mark.
Hey there, Jeffrey. Great to be with you.
Right. You know, Mark, I just heard from Mark Z from Legal Staffing that we just lost a very senior judge in Massachusetts.
We sure did. And I was actually wanted to say something about him. Ralph Gantz was Chief Justice of the Supreme Judicial Court since 2014, I believe, and has been on the court since 2009. And before that, he was a judge in the business litigation session, which, not too long ago, there was no session devoted to complex business cases. He and Alan Van Gestel, were the judges who presided in that session, and Judge Gantz became the presiding judge in the session. And he was the type of judge who, you wanted to appear in front of because he was always well prepared, courteous, brilliant, fair. And when you appeared in front of him once he was on the Supreme Judicial Court, he was the judge that you always wanted to be the one who would take the lead on deciding the case and writing the opinion. Because of that combination of being both brilliant and very fair-minded. So it's a huge loss for the legal system here in Massachusetts. And he was also the first Jewish Chief Justice of the Supreme Judicial Court in its history. He was concerned about racial disparity in the courts before it became a hot issue, which it certainly is now. Established a commission to study it a number of years ago, and he was very much opposed to these mandatory sentences for criminal defendants. He viewed a judge's role as to, mete out appropriate punishment for the circumstances of a particular case, as opposed to a one-size-fits-all, recognizing that the purpose of sentencing was punishment, deterrence, but also rehabilitation. So he was an impressive person and a great judge, and it's a real loss. It also diminishes the experience level of judges who have business experience. Judge Gantz worked as a U.S. in the U.S. Attorney's Office. He worked in private practice, and then he became a Superior Court judge, and then, as I mentioned, the business litigation, to specialize court to deal with business disputes. So I think it's really important to have appellate courts that have some judges who have business experience, because business disputes, they're very different than personal injury cases, malpractice cases, real estate cases, although sometimes business disputes are real estate cases. It's important to have broad expertise among appellate judges. But he leaves an impressive legacy and certainly, as I said, a tragedy.
Well, I would assume that you appeared before him through your various times in your career because you do business litigation.
Yes.
And I also say this, I'm not saying this to just butter you up, because I consider law for you to be more of a profession versus a business, and you're very thorough at what you do. He must have appreciated your preparedness for cases.
Well, he was a brilliant person, but he had a great way of asking questions. But in a very courteous way to everybody. And I sometimes felt that, he was speaking to other judges on the court as he was asking questions, viewing it as certainly pointing out everybody's weaknesses as well as strengths of in their case. You know, no case is perfect, and he was very good at making sure the strengths and weaknesses of both sides of a case were clearly articulated during an oral argument, and he certainly pushed lawyers in a very professional and cordial way to answer hard questions. Which perhaps we might have preferred to not emphasize so much in an appellate argument representing clients.
I think in my childhood, the perception of the law and judgeship was that to be a judge, you had to be intellectually scholarly. And I'm getting the sense that that may be changing, not necessarily by design, but just because of the reality of turnover of life. And if we use that scholarliness at the top, that could affect the whole legal profession. Is that correct?
Yes, it's a balance of, you have to understand the law and apply the law, because we need to be have a law that isn't just decided by who's in control at a particular time in political power. We need to have standards, and judges need to apply the law, but judges have to bring a recognition that they're dealing with people. It's not just ivory tower principles. The law impacts real people and determines whether or not they, say in a criminal case, go free or incarcerated. In civil cases, decide cases with devastating, enormous economic consequences to people. So the judges need to have humility, and I'd say scholarly competence. And I would say Judge Gantz, who I did not know personally on the bench, seemed to always demonstrate those attributes. And I think I think he was a role model for other judges because he had those characteristics.
You always make me think, Mark, and I see the same issues with leadership that, in today's world, there seems to be, I always thought that leadership was about being scholarly to some extent as well, and the intellectual pursuit of doing what was right and morally right. But I think in our society, there's this tendency to oversimplification. I like to say it to some of my clients, pasteurization of things, to sort of put things into a model and wash everything into a consistent model. And I think we lose something in that. And when you lose people like of that generation who probably started from an intellectual basis, I think it's a loss for all of us because it not only affects the legal field, but you're doing business litigation. I think it does sort of apply over into our whole society. And when we, if we lose that intellectual side, I think we're losing a lot.
Yes. Well, I think, as you know, emotional intelligence is in many ways, the most important type of intelligence. And in my experience, leaders who have that do particularly well.
Well, statistics bear you out, Mark, on that. They're very strong. In terms of emotional intelligence, and I would say in this economy, all my work, group work, which is daily, and individual work has been around really understanding that in this economy, if you're dealing with people, it's 100% about emotional intelligence. It's not about IQ. People just don't want to hear another smart person talking to them. They want someone who understands them. And understanding people takes a lot more self-control and maturity and an ability to sort of understand a lot of connected pieces. And there's a lot of research on it. And I don't think it's a new concept. I do like the term emotional intelligence. I actually think it goes back thousands of years. I think it's important. You know, Mark, clearly, if someone's looking for a more scholarly attorney, I would say personally, I always find you to be scholarly and thoughtful. If someone's looking for you and they want to understand their particular situation before they make moves, how would they find you with Tarla Breedhart and Rogers?
I can be reached at mfurman, F-U-R-M-A-N, at tbhr-law.com, or it's 617-218-2025.
Remind everybody, this is Mark Furman from the law firm of Tarla Breedhart and Rogers. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We like to have weekly segments with Mark. Always very thoughtful. Thank you very much, Mark. Be well.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Great to see you.
Thank you. So, Mark, you know, we're